Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go, hour two. It is great to have you here live in Los Angeles. This show is called The Herd. People like it. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. One of my favorites, Katino Movley in about 3 or 4 minutes. Joy Taylor's joining me. So tonight it's Milwaukee, Atlanta. I'm not nearly as geeked out for that. I'll just be honest with you. It's not because I'm a West Coast guy. I've told you before, I watch a lot more SEC football than I do ACC football or Big 12 football, often Big 10 football. It's better. Like, I like better.
I don't know. I don't know what to expect. I don't think I can count the Hawks out. It's just like the Clippers. Like, I'm on the Suns bandwagon. I don't know. Is it Suns Nation? I don't know what they call their fans, but it's been really fun to watch. But I just like the Clippers. I just can't count the Hawks out.
Totally get that. So it is interesting. Chris Paul, I like the Suns to win now. And for the record, you know, I like the Clippers when they were down 0-2 to the Jazz. I said I'll still take the Clippers. I like the Jazz here. Kawhi, I don't think, is coming back. Chris Paul is. But it's interesting. You see this all the time. See it in business all the time. Somebody leaves, CEO, and everybody's like, well, we'll be fine without her, without him. Remember Barry Switzer took over for Jimmy Johnson, 12-4, next year won a Super Bowl? We all good. Then it was 10-6, 6-10, and he was done. Jimmy Johnson had built such a strong foundation that you could flourish for a couple years without it. Go ask the Pelicans, Thunder, Rockets, and Clippers how things went the next year when Chris Paul left. Don't kid yourself. Phoenix needs Chris Paul. Sign him to a contract. I don't want to hear all this, well, I got off to a 2-0 lead without Chris Paul. Chris is not your number one scoring option. And because of that, and you have Devin Booker, there's a lot of nuance and little things that you don't detect right away. Don't kid yourself. The Pelicans, the Thunder, the Rockets, and the Clippers, we looked it up this morning. I won't go down and bore the radio audience, but the numbers don't lie. Teams aren't the same without Chris. They're not. There's a lot of things Chris Paul does. They're nuanced. And he doesn't have to make – basketball is so fast like hockey. You don't have to make a million decisions a day. Jeff Bezos always talks about this, the richest guy in America. And he always talks about, as a CEO, Bezos says, you don't want a CEO making 50 decisions a day. One or two big ones. That a CEO should be looking 3 years down the road and building. I remember one time when I worked at the other place, I used to arrive at the exact same time as the guy that ran the company. His name was George Bodenheimer. And this always stuck with me. So his like town car would arrive at the same time as my little cruddy car did. And we were always walking into work together. And he was kind enough to give me like 2 minutes. He would always give, Colin, what's going on today? And George was a man of the people, knew everybody in the ESPN kitchen. He knew every janitor. He knew everybody. And I said, I asked him a question one time, and he goes, you know, that's tomorrow. He goes, Colin, I got a 10-year plan. You should come up to my office sometimes. Here's what we're going to be in 10 years. 10 years? 10 days from now, I don't know what's going to be on my show. He goes, yeah, he goes, I got to figure out 10 years. Can't worry about 10 minutes, 10 days. And that always stuck with me. And that's what Jeff Bezos says. You can't give the CEO too much minutia. One or two big decisions a day. He's got to be thinking, contemplating ahead our obstacles. That's what Chris Paul does. Basketball is so fast. Phoenix can do 97% of this stuff without Chris Paul. But it's those one or two nightly decisions, just those big moments in the huddle late, out of bounds play, taps you on the shoulder, guard him, don't forget. That's where Chris Paul has value. So I know you're talking yourself into this morning. We do not need Chris Paul. We are winning without him. Be very careful. I've seen that my whole life. You can win briefly. The energy, Phoenix is loud, but you need Chris Paul. So baseball signs guys to 10-year contracts. Chris Paul, you're going to probably sign a 3, and by the third year, you're not going to love the contract. Deal with it. Okay? Deal with it. It's like when you sign me. Companies love it initially. They hate it at the end. But you lose this personality, good luck. I mean, good luck. Fend for yourself if you lose Joy and I. Heard brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. Ketino Mobley played over a decade in the NBA. Joining us now live. Listen, I got to tell you something, Ketino. I watched that game last night, and no Kawhi and no Chris Paul, and I thought it was one of the best NBA games I've seen. I feel like those are the two best coaches left. Those are the two best teams left. They both played over, they played 9 guys, and all of them contributed. I think we're watching the NBA Finals, Ketino. That's what it feels like to me. Your thoughts?
No, you're right. First of all, how you guys doing?
Great.
You brought up a great point about Chris Paul, and I think he's undervalued with a lot of teams. And I think he's undervalued because he gets hurt a lot. This series is like a NBA Finals series to me.
Yeah.
It's a lot more exciting. I love the Trae Youngs of the world. I just don't believe in Milwaukee at the moment. No disrespect to Milwaukee. But Chris Paul, to me, is like that amazing parent, that amazing teacher, right? And especially during this COVID situation, you value teachers a lot more, especially parents that are at home trying to tutor their children.
Right.
So, you know, Chris Paul, I don't think it's 90%. I think it's literally they're learning how to win. So when I went to the Clippers in 05, 06, there was Elton Brand getting 20 and 10 and Corey Maggette and those guys. They were almost there. But it's just something towards the end of games, 2 or 3 possessions where they're losing and you're losing 30-something, 40 games because of bonehead plays. And what you do, Colin and Joy, is you psych yourself out, not only in that game, but the next 2 or 3 games ahead. So what I think Chris Paul is doing for these guys is helping them believe, even if it's a 3-year, you know, crazy amount of money for a smaller guard, I think what he's doing is he's helping them learn how to win on a consistent basis. Even if you go, I lose 2 games in a row, Chris Paul comes in, he can reboot the team. And I think that's what the Clippers are missing, where they have that point guard that can really get them under control,
yeah,
emotionally, physically, right, mentally. That's what Chris Paul, top 5 point guard ever to me, that can do for a team. So his value is like unbelievable. He's kind of like the LeBron James of teams. When he goes on a team, the team's amazing.
Yeah. No, it's a great point. The teachers in the pandemic, like we don't give teachers credit until we have a pandemic and you go, oh, wow, teachers are incredibly valuable. It's interesting on the replays at the end of the game. We've been arguing about this morning. Listen, the last 2 minutes take 30 minutes, and I think there should be replay, but used very infrequently. My rule has always been 30 seconds. If you can't see it, then it's just human error. It's got to be an egregious mistake. But as a player, does it, you know, I mean, you go from having the momentum in the crowd to sitting around. How do you view replay?
When you had the guy on earlier, he made a great point. You know, I think they made that up when they were drinking some whiskey or cognac or something, smoking cigars. I have no clue. Because, listen, guys, think about this. When you do the replay and you see that the defender or someone did something prior to the incident, but yet you don't look at that part. You look at the incident itself. That's the weirdest thing to me, right? Like, okay, the reason why the ball went out of bounds is because of this. Or the reason why this happened is because of that. But you don't look at that. You look at the moment, right? The situation where the ball is going out of bounds and it went off on Devin Booker's hand, so there was a wrong call. How about the hand check or the grabbing or the whatever it is? Well, my thing is, it's like, if you see something before that, why not call that? So my logic opposed to what they look at on a replay to me is I just don't understand it.
You know, I said, you know, it's funny. I was talking about the Phoenix Suns and I said, Ketino, they remind me of that Seahawks team a few years ago, mm-hmm, where the Seahawks and the Suns don't have a history of dominating. And then you started watching the Seahawks and they had this young guy, Russell Wilson, mm-hmm, and all their young players peaked at the exact time, and they had this good coach, Pete Carroll, Monty Williams, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guy had been fired, but respected coach, and you have Russell Wilson in your Booker or something. And then all of a sudden you watch Seattle play and you're like, are they the fastest football team I've ever seen in my life? This doesn't make sense. They were good last year, but all the young players harmonized at the exact same time. You'd listen to that crowd in Seattle and you're like, you can't beat them at home. You can't. And I watched Phoenix and I don't think it's lightning in a bottle. I think their young players are all peaking at the exact same time. And the belief system now, I mean, DeAndre Ayton thinks he's the best big in the league. Did you ever play in a team that was young? Maybe it was the Clippers. And all of a sudden you get into a stretch and players almost play above themselves. The belief system is so strong. You're willing yourself to wins.
Yeah, and that I gave you, the Clippers was an example of that, where it's myself and Sam Cassell came in, and the Corey McGettis, who's always a great scorer, and Elton Brands, who was a leader. I think he finished that year second in MVP. I think what it did for them is helped them believe that we are good and we can win, and that mistakes, just like a kid, I'm not calling these guys kids, but it's just like anything, right? Sometimes you have to fail, and while you're failing, you have that mentor, that the oracle, whoever it is, that's literally helping guide you through this journey to say, okay, listen, it's okay. It's a moment. Don't make it a year, okay? Don't make it the whole game. It's just the first quarter. And I think that's what Chris Paul did for a lot of these guys. Also, too, is Devin Booker's coming into his own. He's been my favorite two guard in the league since he came into the league. His footwork and everything that he does. And then you have, and he's just trying to find himself. Where do I fit? And I think with Chris Paul coming in, getting easy buckets, and the great thing about Phoenix to me is that you have an amazing point guard, an amazing two. When you have two guys that can control the ball at the end of games and can make free throws, that's a very dangerous team.
Ben Simmons can't make free throws. We know. I mean, what do we do in Philadelphia with that situation, Coutinho? What do we do? Because it's a very talented team.
I don't think – listen, I like Ben Simmons. I got a little slack from his sister on Twitter where I made a comment about Ben a few years back, and she said some stuff. Listen, I would love to help Ben. I'm left-handed. I would love to help Ben. I don't know if Ben's left-handed or if he's literally a right-handed person that's been playing left-handed his whole life. Now, what I've been hearing is that Ben's a little stubborn.
Yeah.
He's been babied his whole life, and there's a lot of people out there that's on his team that can't really talk to him. And it's a little bit of an arrogance to it. And I don't know if it's arrogance or embarrassment that he don't want to ask for help. But, you know, I think for Ben and I just don't think they mesh well together. Joel Embiid needs a point guard. You know, the funny thing is, Colin, I think Ben would play better on the Atlanta Hawks and put Trae Young on the Sixers, and the team would be better because Atlanta Hawks has a lot of shooters and dive into the rim guys, opposed to like Joel Embiid, where he dominates the ball as he should because he's so good. But then Ben is more facilitator. I just don't see Ben with the Sixers and Joel Embiid.
Yeah, nor do I. By the way, it's I don't think it'll be nearly as entertaining. Milwaukee looks too big and too physical and too smart and too experienced for Atlanta. I don't think it's a close series. Your thoughts?
I don't know about that. Like I said before, when you have guards that are savvy, smart, and can change the momentum of games, you can't count them out. Milwaukee doesn't have a true point guard. So when things get rattled, there's a problem. And you saw that when Kyrie Irving went down, even though he's not a true point guard, but you still, James, you know, he didn't shoot well. He came back late. But when you have guys that can control the game, Giannis don't control the game. He's a freak of nature, but he doesn't control the game. Trae Young controls the game like he did against the Knicks, like he did against the Sixers. Regardless if he's shooting bad, he went into the fourth quarter, 5 for 16? But he's still dishing out. He's still causing problems. And I think when you have a person like that and these guys believe Trae Young, right? They'll die with Trae Young. A lot of these guys on that team, that's when you have a trouble, you know, it's troubling for the defense. And, you know, he's not going to shoot bad again. He's so shifty. He passes the ball well, and he makes you stretch the defense all the way out, which gives opportunity to the rest of his team. So I'm not a believer in Milwaukee. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, listen, you're not the only one. All right. Ketino Mobley, who is always dapper, is always our best dressed guest. Do you ever have a day that you just wear an old T-shirt or anything like that?
Yeah, I do. I just took my T-shirt off to put this on.
Okay. All right. Because you're always the best dressed guy on the planet. Ketino Mobley, great seeing you, man.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks so much.
You know, it is funny. He talked about Ben Simmons, and this is now fairly well documented from multiple sources. And this, Ben has been so coddled, so babied. Now, it's easy to say all these guys, 99% of these young players, the Trae Youngs, they work their arse off. They're not. I mean, there's a difference between coddled. Years ago, I said this. I remember my late mother, I said this one time, and I was just poking her in the ribs. My mom grew up very poor in England. And I've told the story. She got an orange for Christmas one time and was grateful. I mean, England was in recessions and there was not a lot of money. That's why, by the way, England has bands and we have rock stars, because kids used to in England have to go in together to buy a guitar. One kid couldn't afford it. That's why England's always had great bands. We have the rock stars. We have the kids that are going into personalized coaching in America because our economy's so robust. And anyway, my mom, we were talking about I had my daughter. And it's just, my mom is like, you baby your kids. And I said, you know, mom, with Olivia, I am going to be a very strict parent. No candy. And I was just joking, but no candy except on Saturday. She goes, how dare you? You baby her every second of her life. She wants candy. You give her candy. And my mom's whole point is coddling, just treat people well. 99% of players out of AAU work their butt off. Ben is a little bit of a cautionary tale of what can happen, though. If you are considered a prodigy, you're 6'9". I mean, Ben Simmons was 15 years old. He was 6'8 and could handle the ball like a guard. And everybody just saw him as a meal ticket, and nobody wants to offend him. And you do get this. You don't get it in football much. You don't get it in baseball much. You do get it a little bit in basketball, where you can identify the superstar super early, and they are a meal ticket for everybody, and nobody will ever say, you're wrong, work on that, do that. And you're hearing that with Ben Simmons, that he doesn't want to be coached. He's been told he's great forever. And, you know, that is hard to overcome. That you can't coach out of that if that's been established early. But I don't want to hear, oh, these NBA guys don't want to be coached. If you watch DeAndre Ayton and Trae Young, they don't even look. They don't even play like they played 2 years ago. They have completely remolded their games. But they're, you know, this is the AA. You find a star. How much money has LeBron been worth? You get connected with LeBron James, $10 billion? He is Cleveland. I mean, he leaves Cleveland's economy, restaurant struggle. They're not full during the NBA season. Just the reality of it.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tonight on FS1, the biggest soccer tournament of the year continues with group stage play as Thiago Silva leads Brazil against Colombia. The action-packed tournament keeps rolling tonight at 8 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
That's been highly entertaining. We're in a great sports time right now. You know, this year is if it feels like we're getting a lot of good things happening this year, some of it is they push the NBA back. And so in our business, there has always been two times of the year that it gets really slow. The NFL season ends, you go about 8 weeks of nothing. Well, now the NFL has tweaked its free agency. Now you only get about 3 to 4 weeks of slow time. Go skiing, have fun, go to Mexico if you, you know. But March now is NFL free agency, and it's great. And there's also the time July and August. And then, you know, mid-August, you get into NFL heavy. But now you're pushing NBA playoffs are going to go into July now, into your draft. And so this is a rare year where we maybe have 2 weeks, 3 weeks in February, 2 to 3 weeks in July, and that's it. It is a jammed schedule. Think next year. I think it's next year, right? When we're going to have the World Cup in the fall. So you're going to have the baseball playoffs on Fox. You're going to have the great NFL on Fox, college football on Fox, and the World Cup. So next fall, there'll have to be some day drinking. There's just going to be too much sports. We're going to be overwhelmed by it. But this has been a year in which, I mean, our numbers on this show are way up. It's just there's not a lot of downtime this year. There's very little downtime. Joey of the News.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
The boys are back in town, Colin. The boycott boys, they're back.
Oh, what happened? Who are they boycotting now?
No. They were never boycotting to begin with. But if they were, they're certainly watching the NBA playoffs. Through the conference semifinals, viewership was up 39%.
Oh, wait, time out. So, ratings in the NBA were up 39%. What?
I know, it's shocking because I thought the sport was ending.
Yeah, well, they were boycotting, right? Because of China and stuff?
I thought, yeah. And then, they just couldn't handle Black Lives Matter on the court. So definitely it was going to be the end of the NBA. It turns out it wasn't. Viewership's up 39% from last season. Saturday night's game 7 between the Bucks and Nets was the most watched game of the postseason to date, averaging 6.9 million viewers. And Sunday's game between the Hawks and Sixers was right behind, 6.2 million. Also, the viewership share for this year's playoffs, which is the percentage of people with TVs in use that are watching the NBA, is at its highest since the league first began logging that data during the 2002-2003 season.
So, Joy, let me go, let's slow down. So, since the NBA for 18, 19 years has been logging this information, 2002.
Yes.
It's the highest percentage of televisions in America watching the NBA playoffs.
Correct.
That's not what I heard from many conservative outlets. People like professional basketball, the world's best basketball players playing. People like it.
Look, we're being extremely sarcastic, if you can't tell. But the reason for it is there's no replacement for sports. We saw that last year. So this wave of overreaction of, oh, I'm not going to watch these woke rich athletes talk about things that matter to them ever again, and the NBA is going to end.
It's all nonsense.
LeBron won't talk about China, so I'm not going to support him. It's nonsense. There's no replacement for it. If you don't watch, you didn't care about the NBA to begin with.
It's live sports.
Last night was brilliant television. No one could draw it up. No one could write it. It was edge of the seats, unbelievable entertainment. And I don't have a dog in the fight either way.
By the way, both Democrats and Republicans both do this. They let their political beliefs alter their opinions on sports. This is not just conservatives. Yep. Democrats do this. All liberals do this all the time. Here's what I think about a political stand, and I'm gonna make a definitive opinion on sports. I got news for you. People are gonna watch sports until the day I roll over.
Yep.
Because it's live, it's drama, it's unscripted, it's crazy. There's great calls, there's bad calls, there's great players, there's guys that can't hit free throws. Paul George couldn't hit a free throw. You can't duplicate it. There's nothing else in the market like it.
It's the best drama on television. And there's no replacing it. We saw what happened last year when we didn't have sports. And also, there's just been incredible stories. You know, for all this talk about, you know, college and, you know, the NBA doesn't embrace college and we don't get to learn about these players and there's no parity. Like, this was the perfect year. Everyone's watching. You're getting to see guys like Cameron Payne have unbelievable stretches of games.
They're good stories.
It's amazing. It's been great, great television. Speaking of Paul George, the Clippers are in a familiar position, falling down 2-0 in the postseason. Paul George had a chance to put the Clippers up 3 with 8 seconds to go last night. Missed both free throws.
I know, and he's a good free throw shooter.
Yes, he shoots 86.5% from the free throw line this season, including the playoffs. So not a really great moment for him. The series shifts to LA for game 3 on Thursday, but he is confident the Clippers can bounce back.
If I know this team correctly, the fight we have, going into game 3 and the fight that we have to believe that, you know, we're going to change the series, that's who we've been and that's who we are. And so I'm very confident in our group. And, fact of the matter is they did what they were supposed to. They won their 2 games on their floor. We got to go home and protect our house.
He's absolutely right. I mean,
they're going to win some of these LA games.
They're supposed to win the first two games.
And these are close games. These are both winnable. This looks a lot like Utah, where they went 0-2 and they could have won both games. The difference is Phoenix is a lot more athletic than Utah, and Donovan Mitchell was hurt, and Chris Paul's not. So that's why I do think 0-2 is really hard to overcome here.
I would tend to agree, but I can't count the Clippers out. Like, it's just the same with the Hawks. I just can't
yet. They'll win game three. I'll give you this.
They're favored by one, according to Fox Bet, game three.
That's one of the better bets. I take the Clippers game three.
This last night was only the second time Paul George missed two consecutive free throws this year. So for all this talk about, you know, Paul George falling apart, he's been playing great. He's stepped up in his moments. It was a bad moment for him last night. But he's absolutely right. They win the next two at home, and it's an even series again. So NFL.com put together some of their best young players in the league to create an all-under-25 team heading into the 2021 season. To be eligible, each player just had to be younger than 25 years old when the season starts on September 9th. So we have the all-under-25 offense, Lamar Jackson, Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs, A.J. Brown, Justin Jefferson, D.K. Metcalf, TJ Hockenson, Mekhi Becton, Tristan Wirfs, Mike Onwenu, Damian Lewis, and Eric McCoy.
Boy, that is, I'll tell you what, that is a good football team. That is a really good football team.
Yes. The future of the NBA is bright. What do you think about Lamar Jackson as the quarterback for that all under 25?
I don't have a problem. I mean, I've said this. I think Justin Herbert has a chance to be amazing. But he did play without crowds last year. So Justin Herbert now is going to get the NFL, the real NFL experience of going to Kansas City with nobody wearing masks and the place is packed. So could Justin Herbert have a little bit of an adjustment, and he doesn't look like the world's potentially greatest quarterback? Absolutely. He's also got a couple new offensive linemen. They're learning the playbook. They got a new coach. So I think Lamar wins 80% of his games. I'm fine with it.
I'm really, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, the NFC West, and there's a lot of great divisions. But again, I think the AFC North is so interesting this year. Joe Burrow's back, has a nice offensive weapon.
Second really good draft by, I think, the Bengals.
The Browns really should be favored to win this division. What is Ben Roethlisberger going to look like? And the Ravens have Lamar Jackson are consistent every year.
And they've upgraded their receivers.
It's going to be
great division.
Yeah.
I mean, the AFC North and the NFC West, they're as good as any divisions ever. When your fourth place teams are Arizona, which, by the way, gives the 49ers fits.
I think Arizona's going to be much better this year.
Oh, I do too. I just think it's like being much better in the SEC. It gets you third place in the Citrus Bowl. There's only, you know, there's not much room at the top. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
You know, it's funny. Daryl Morey was talking yesterday. You know, the Ben Simmons thing, we talked about it yesterday. What you don't want to do is what the Philadelphia Eagles did, which is kind of badmouth Carson Wentz. Stuff leaks out about Carson Wentz. Then he loses his trade value, and they trade him to the Colts. They get nothing in return. What you got to do with Ben Simmons is rehab his image and say nice things. He's a good kid. We can fix it. So Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Philadelphia Sixers, Doc Rivers talked yesterday. Now Daryl Morey's talking. We're all good here.
I frankly don't understand, you know, people saying the Sixers are in a bad situation. You know, I don't choose to come here. Doc doesn't choose to come here if this is a bad situation. I mean, really 25 or 26 teams in this league would love to be in our situation with an MVP caliber top player, an all-star, a near all-star, great young players who are signed for the long term, good veterans. So we've got a good foundation. We just have to do better. I have to do better. Everyone has to do better.
He's right on that. You know, it's funny about, you know, we always romanticize the past and criticize the moment. Philadelphia is one of eight teams at the top of the league where if they just did something a little better, they could win the title. If Ben Simmons could hit free throws, they would be in the Eastern Conference Championship. It's that simple. Free throws. There's about 7-8 teams in the league like that. Then there's about 7-8 teams in the league that have bad rosters and can't wait for the draft. And then that's about half the league, 45%. Other 16, 17 teams right in the middle. Not terrible, not lousy, Portland. just neat stuff. But an entertaining watch. Philadelphia is in the good group. By the way, I know we like to glamorize the past, but I went this morning to the 80s in the NBA. That was the Magic Bird era. Never better than those were the days. Everybody loved the NBA until all the players got political. I used to love... Ever hear that from a guy that hates the NBA? Oh, I used to watch it all the time. Let's go to the time you used to watch it. The Magic Bird era. There were 7 to 8 teams that were really good. The Celtics, the Lakers, the Sixers, the Rockets, the Pistons, Portland, Milwaukee. And there were 7 god-awful teams at the bottom. The San Diego Clippers, the Knicks, the Warriors, Dallas, the Pacers, and the Sonics. Everybody else was in the middle. What the league's always been, and Philadelphia is where you want to be. If they could just do a couple of things, if Simmons could hit a free throw, they're fun. Tobias Harris, Seth Curry, Joel Embiid, they got a good coach, they play defense, they got length. League's always been the same. 7 at the top, 7 in the bottom, rest of the league's in the middle.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Casper's 4th of July sale's here. They're celebrating the bed white and blue. 30% off bundles, mattresses, more. Go to casper.com/promo. Details end date. Couple of things I want to talk about. Number one, Pro Football Focus coming out with the 50 best football players in the NFL. It's positionless. 50 best football players. Yesterday, Josh Allen, quarterback Bills, 40. Absurd. Today, Russell Wilson, 22. Absurd. Whatevs. They're not counting the position. But I will say, you know, I'm from the Northwest. Russell Wilson, the Seahawks are in a little bit of a weird spot. They're becoming the Steelers West. Hall of Fame coach, Hall of Fame quarterback. Seasons aren't ending good. Sputtering. The Steelers playoff story for the last decade is embarrassing. The Steelers in the last decade have lost, with Tomlin and Big Ben, lost to Tebow. Lost to Bortles. Baker Mayfield just dropped 48 on their arse. Annihilated by Brady. Beaten by an old Peyton Manning. It's embarrassing. Well, since the Seahawks Super Bowl lost to New England 7 years ago, they've got 5 losses. They can't beat the good teams in the playoff. Even their wins are ugly. They beat Minnesota 10-9 because, you know, Blair Walsh missed like a chip shot field goal. They beat Detroit. They beat 17-9 over Philly because Carson Wentz got hurt. So Seattle's got a little bit of a problem here. And Seattle and Pittsburgh are very similar. You've got a defensive-minded head coach, charismatic, Tomlin, Pete Carroll, with Super Bowls. You got quarterbacks, Russell and Ben, that won Super Bowls early in their career and now are very expensive, limiting what teams can do. So I do think... I mean, when Seattle lost to Jared Goff playing on one thumb, it's like, that's a problem. So the Steelers have a 10-year closing the season problem. The Seahawks have a 7-year closing the season problem. Now, the good news for Seattle fans, whereas Ben is not obsessed, his off seasons are, you know, Bud Light, family time, time with the kids, an occasional yoga class. People joke about that. Russell Wilson, I think, is the difference here, is he is so driven, so willful, so aspirational that I don't think this will become what they are. I mean, that's what Pittsburgh is now. Pittsburgh can't finish. Details aren't very good. Ben's audible system is, you know, simplistic. They don't put the time in the offseason. They try to play themselves into shape. And they're, you know, they can be good, but in the end, they just keep at the end of the year not delivering. Seattle's getting into that space, but I think Russell will get him out of that. Okay, something else to talk about. It's become bizarre. It is, baseball tends to be, of all our sports, a little slow to change. It's very much steeped in history and lore and tradition. And, you know, people who, you know, are you know, they come from these big families, going to the same camps, same churches, same neighborhood. You get in that kind of tunnel of tradition. It's hard to break out. So baseball should probably have figured this out in the off season, not in the middle of a season, but that's sort of baseball and whatever. So they have a little bit of an issue in that baseballs are slick. In fact, I'm sure most of you know this, some may not. Every baseball, before it gets given to an umpire, gets rubbed down with dirt. You know, that's what you have to do, because you gotta make it easier for a pitcher to, otherwise they'll slip out of your hand. And pitchers for years, they lick their fingers. They're trying to get grip on it. Well, what has happened? They're using this thing, many believe, for the last couple of years called the tack, which is what weightlifters use. So what it does is you use that tack on it and the spin rate increases, and it's like a Bugs Bunny curveball. Nobody can hit. The average has dropped to 237. Like, literally nobody can hit. And then baseball about a month ago said, okay, we're going to start checking stuff. And the averages went up. Because I do believe that very punitive punishment, at least in athletics, maybe not society, right? Very punitive punishment with sports. We're taking away your money. We're taking away your season. There's peer pressure. Remember COVID in the NBA? None of the players tested positive. And that was the fear. What are these young guys, girls? They go, why? Because of the peer pressure to not screw up your team. We're all in this together. Don't screw it up. Lou Williams got crushed for getting chicken wings in Atlanta, right? I mean, it literally hurt his brand. He got, you know, let's move him out of town. So I do think if you just said, all right, you get caught with the stuff, you're out. You think Garrett Cole wants to ruin the Yankee season? Max Scherzer wants to ruin the Nats season? I do think there is a really cool thing about men's and women's sports at the highest level. You don't want to screw your teammates. So I just think baseball has to come out and say, we're going to be harsh. You get caught with this stuff, you're out. You're out for the year. Whether we pay or not, you disappointed your team, and guys would stop. But last night, it was a circus. They're checking guys, stop and frisk guys, and guys are making fun of them. You got Joe Girardi is checking on Max Scherzer, and Scherzer's, you know, one of the best pitchers in the decade. He's now furious with it, and Joe Girardi is saying, well, and now they start challenging each other. They want to fight, and Joe Girardi, can you imagine Belichick or Phil Jackson challenging somebody to a fight? It was horrible. It was embarrassing. It was an eyesore. So both of them talked about it afterwards.
I've seen Max a long time, since 2010. Obviously, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. But I've never seen him wipe his head like he was doing tonight, ever. Going like this, right? So it was suspicious for me. He did it about four or five times. It was suspicious. I didn't mean to offend anyone. I just got to do what's right for our club.
If everybody's on the same playing field, you got to find a way to get over it. You know, everybody's dealing with this. So, you know, when you're on the mound, you can't make any excuses. You just got to go through it. I'd have to be an absolute fool to actually use something tonight when everybody's intent is out of, you know, everybody's intent is, you know, so far high to look for anything. So, you know, it is what it is, whatever. Turn the page, move on.
I mean, we all slow down when we see a cop on the side of the road. Max Scherzer was not going to be using it last night. There's no way. If you're using it now, you're a moron. Max Scherzer's not a moron. It's the classic cop song. You see the cop, everybody slows down. I never speed. Hello, officer, I never speed. Nobody's going to use this stuff now, because I do believe it's as simple as just hand down strong punishment. And we saw it with COVID. NBA guys were like, I'm not leaving. Lou Williams did, got crushed for it. And then the Clippers didn't play as well. Lou Williams gets blamed. You're not going to have these star pitchers. Garrett Cole, DeGrom's not going to implode a season for the Mets are finally good. You know, do I roll my eyes? Am I a little suspicious at some of these ERAs? Yeah, when people can't foul the ball off. But, you know, it's also bad optics to be frisking players. I'll give you an example. Years ago, United had a flight. Airlines overbook everybody. And years ago, United was dragging somebody off a plane. They'd overbooked. It was so bad for United. Now, this is the way airlines, this is why when you go in a plane, they're always asking, we'll give you two free tickets if you will not go on this. Every flight I'm on, they ask that, right? Because airlines overbook. So you got to have an understanding. If somebody really needs to be on the flight, they want to be on the flight. Like, you can't drag them off. And so this is bad optics. The NFL catch rule, why did they change it? Because the optics were horrible. You'd see a guy catch it, and then you go to replay, and because the ball moved near his elbow like an inch, you'd be like, that's not a catch. Remember Roger Goodell came on the show, and I'm like, Mr. Commissioner, these are catches. And he's like, I know. It looks terrible. We've got to change it. This frisking thing is so embarrassing looking. Stop it. Do it, by the way, as they walk off the mound. Grab them in the dugout if you have to. Don't have them frisking right in the middle of a game. It looks and these guys, listen, cheaters know when to cheat, right? If these guys are cheating, they're not doing it this week and this month. The Herd.